Amen. It's good to continue to see more and more folks gather back with us. It's even good to see a member from out of town who's here with us today. Phyllis, we're glad that you made it several hours away. Thank you. Our sermon text today comes from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God bless the reading of his holy word. You know, our world today is certainly filled with worry and stress and anxiety. And we could say that's an understatement. Pandemic and violence and unrest and political situations and natural disasters have seemed to escalate those emotions that we sometimes feel. But what does Jesus say about all of this? What does he say about worry and stress and anxiety? Well, Jesus told his followers not to worry. Not to worry about their lives. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your bodies, what you're going to wear. And this section actually began with the word therefore. Therefore, a word which is like a bridge. I used to hear when I was growing up, when pastors would preach, I bet you heard the same thing. Well, let me tell you, therefore is, let me tell you what there is for. And so I believe that therefore is there because of bridging these two sections together. Because in the previous section, Jesus talked about not serving two masters. You can't serve both God and mammon, or that would mean material possessions or money. But when we do choose to serve God, we find security in him and we can trust him with all of our needs instead of worrying about these needs. Few of us here have to worry about food and clothing as we look around. We usually have our needs met. Our worries are usually not about having clothing to wear or shoes to wear, but having that which is in style, right? Or having that which we think needs to be newer because we've worn those other things for so long. We worry about having enough money, and we worry about extras sometime because of keeping up with the Joneses, whoever they are. We worry, will this pandemic ever end? Now, it's lasted about 19 months, hasn't it, that we've known about in our country. We have worries about, will I ever get a job? Or what do people think of me? Will my son or my daughter make it through high school or make it through college? Will there be Social Security for my children or my grandchildren? Will I make the team? Will we ever be financially stable? What natural disaster is going to be next? Will my business make it? Will I always be haunted by my past? And then we hear comments, or perhaps we even say these things sometime. I'm worried about getting COVID or cancer or something else. Anybody ever said that? You don't have to raise your hand because I know that we've heard that plenty of times. I'm worried about getting shot or a family member losing his or her life because of violence. Now that would be a normal thing to be worried about, wouldn't it? Especially where we live. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my current situation. I'm worried about getting everything done. I'm worried about everybody else's business. We could take that one off. I'm worried about Friday's exam. I'm worried about the decisions I'm facing. I'm worried about my death or even somebody else's death. I'm worried about the plane crashing or the car wrecking. I'm worried about what's still happening with health care. I'm worried about not being able to get my prescription. I'm worried about the fact that I don't have anything to worry about. Have you ever even been there and think, wow, I need to find something because I don't have anything right now? Our worries range from those nervous feelings about the pandemic to our own securities. Our worries range from warfare to the nasty comment from someone or the nasty look. If you came here today feeling worry-free, you're probably not feeling that right now, but hopefully by the end, you will feel that. Someone has once said that if you're like most people, 40% of your worry time is spent about worrying about things that never happened. Ever worried about something that never did even happen? And that 30% of worry time is spent about fretting about things that can't be changed by all the worry in the world. You know, there is no way we can reverse old decisions, can we? There's no way we can take things away that we've done in the past. And we just can't do that. So why do we keep worrying about that? Why do we not give them to our Almighty God and let Him take them for us? And 12% of that worry time is over misinterpreting the feelings of others. I don't think Gene likes me. You know, Nancy looked at me funny. Now what about Bud? He didn't look at me. And so in our minds, we make up craziness, don't we? We make up worry stuff all that time. And then 10% of worry time is usually over our health, which what happens then? It gets worse. We know that if we worry, the health gets worse. That leaves 8% for legitimate concerns. And most of those worries seem to be about tomorrow, don't they? About tomorrow. But obviously, many of those things, like I said, don't ever happen anyway tomorrow. So what does worry and anxiety do for us? Worry makes life shorter. It makes life shorter. Worry wears out the body. Have you ever heard somebody say, I've just worried myself sick? Well, they have. You know, because they've worried so much that now they are physically sick. I know that you've seen that. Maybe you've been there before. Many diseases and disorders have stress-related or psychosomatic origins. Worry wears out the mind. Have you ever had such a cluttered mind you thought, what am I doing? Where am I going? Why did I just go into that room? What's going on? I feel crazy. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, thank you for being honest. I know that some of you felt that way before. All of us have felt that way before. Because in all of that clutter up there, there's this worry stuff that's going on that makes us think we're losing our minds sometime. Or losing our health when really we just need to give God our worry. I am not downplaying real diseases or anything like that. But I'm trying to say that there is so much that goes on in our minds. Our minds are so powerful. They're so powerful. They can make us think anything just about. Worry also pulls us apart. The phrase, do not worry, is also translated. Some of you have this translated. Take no thought. Take no thought. Really means to be drawn in different directions. We're pulled here and there and everywhere when we worry. Worry also hinders our testimony. To worry about material things, to worry about tomorrow, to worry about is to live like the pagans. Now, Jesus said that. I didn't say it. Jesus said that. So can you imagine if the pagans are saying, if those Christians worry about all these things, then why in the world would I want Jesus Christ in my life? Wow. When we talk about our worry and we act like those frazzled, overwhelmed people full of worry, who wants Jesus? Who wants Jesus? You know, because Jesus is that person who brings us peace and contentment. Peace. Now, it's been said that the average person actually is crucifying himself or herself between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. Again, you know what we have to do with yesterday? We have to accept God's forgiveness, don't we? We have to move on. We can't live back there in the past, no matter what it was, no matter what we did, and no matter what someone did to us. We cannot live back there. But we have to give that to God to get rid of that worry. Tomorrow. Okay, so here's the other side. Tomorrow. Is it wrong to plan and make goals? Absolutely not. It's right to have goals. I'm not talking about planning for the future. Actually, it's foolish not to plan for the future, isn't it? It's so foolish because we never know what's going to happen from day to day. But it is a sin to worry about the future and to allow that worry to rob us of blessings of today. There's enough to take care of today. Would all of you agree with that? You got enough to do today, Nancy? What about you, Betty? Yeah, you got it. Jean, you got enough. We've got enough to take care of today without worrying about tomorrow. Enough to take care of that we don't have to worry today. Today is enough. Now, Bobby McFerrin had the answer a few years ago, and when I do this, you'll know what phrase to say. In every life, we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord says your rent is late. We may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy. Let me give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. Ain't got no cash. Ain't got no style. Ain't got no gal to make you smile. Don't worry. Be happy. And when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. It will soon pass. I'm not worried. I'm happy. Actually, the song has some good advice, but how do we get to a point like that? Many people think that to get to that point of not worrying, they look to wrong solutions. Some try to drink worries away. Bars are filled with people who are worried about the next paycheck or who are worried about what's going on with their children, who are worried about this or that. Some people try to ignore the worry and just think it'll go away or whatever that situation is. Some people sleep it away. Some people withdraw. And obviously none of this works. Now, there are some practical helps. We can take care of ourselves. We can sleep and exercise and eat right and do all that thing. And I know the nurses are saying amen to that right now, all of you sitting out here. Yes, we can do all of those things, and that's a practical thing we can do. We can also ask for help. You know what? If we're worried, we don't need to keep it inside. We need to find a trusted person and ask for help there. I remember many years ago, probably 35 years ago, some of you may have been there, that NFL football player Earl Campbell came to town, and he was talking about stress and anxiety and panic attacks. And I went to hear him as he spoke, and I remember the thing, he's a big guy. I mean, a big guy. So if you imagine this big old football player standing up there and saying, you need to ask for help. If Earl Campbell can ask for help, you can ask for help, right? We can ask for help, because that was wonderful advice there. Another thing, we can live that serenity prayer that many in our congregation have taught us to follow. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Ever thought about that? Wow, my hardship is actually going to lead me to peace. Taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I'll surrender to his will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life. Remember, God didn't call us to happiness. He called us to obedience. And when we are obedient, then we find that happiness. And supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. But Jesus tells us in this passage of how to have victory over worry. We must, as Jesus said, trust God to meet our needs. God has given us life. And since God has given us life, surely we can trust him for the lesser things. We can trust him for the things like food and clothing to support life. Jesus spoke about the birds. There's no worry in their lives, he said. They don't reap or sow or store away in their barns. And we are so much more valuable than the birds of the air to our Savior and to our Father. He is going to take care of us. Jesus spoke about the beautiful flowers or the beautiful lilies of the field. The lilies bloomed briefly on the hillsides of Palestine. And during that brief time, they were clothed with a beauty that Jesus said was far more beautiful than Solomon and his beautiful robes, his beautiful clothing. If God gives such beauty to a short-lived flower, do you not think he's going to take care of you? Jesus said. You know, I look at so many here, and I look out at you, and I think of different ones of you who are on the other side of the camera here too. I've seen so many wonderful testimonies about horrific things that have happened in your lives, and very difficult things that have happened. And there's some wonderful testimonies here. Share those testimonies of how you got through that debilitating disease or that death or that horrific situation or what this was done to you or that. Share those things and be able to tell people and share your testimony so others will know, so that others will know how to get through with that out worry as well. Jesus also says you can have victory over worry realizing that God knows our needs. The pagans run after all kinds of things asking. He said, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And they're looking for things that only temporarily satisfy. God knows our needs of everyday living. Now, obviously, we have to figure out the difference sometime between needs and wants. We have that struggle of needs versus wants sometimes, don't we? I need that when really it's a want. If you have ever parented a child, you've heard that many times. I need this or I need that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if you have dealt with a parent or a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that, you know that I need is something that is said very often. God knows our needs, and he knows them for particular circumstances. He's going to take care of us. We have to remember that. To go look at those words in Scripture, I'm going to give you a few. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then in John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but a peace that it's different. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. And then that hymn, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. through every day, through all the way, God will take care of you. And 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety, your cares, your worry on him because he cares for you. How else can we have victory over worry? Matthew 6:33 says it so well. We have to put God's will first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, whatever we need is going to be added. You know, we create worries when we seek other things above, seeking his kingdom, the will of God. If we would only put first things first. What's first in your life? God. Thank you, Connor. For some, it may be stuff. For some, it may be career. For some, it may be family. For some, it may be job. Of course, those aren't bad things. But for some, it may be pleasure. For some, it may be recreation. For some, it may be self. But life only works right when we are trusting in God to be first and when we are following his purpose for our lives. To trust him above all, to put him first in our lives, to have complete faith in him, to simply trust him with everything, all of our total being. There was a devotional that Rick Warren wrote sometime this week, and hear this sentence: but there is always peace when you say yes to what God is asking you to do. Whatever God is asking us to do, as he's talking about that obedience, obedience will lead us to being worry-free. Obedience. Now, do we have to work on that every day? By all means. Do we sometimes need help along the way? Oh, yes, we do. The birds and the lilies were nourished because they were in the environment and the plan and purpose God intended for them. And we must be living that purpose and living in that environment that he planned for us. The environment which God intends for us is the kingdom, is his plan, his purpose, his will. And when we seek his will, when we seek his kingdom first, we're like the birds of the air and like the flowers of the field that are so beautiful, living in God's design. He will nourish us. And he will supply our needs. If we have faith in our Heavenly Father, if we put him first in our lives, he will meet our needs. Not our wants, but he will meet our needs. And our lives will be transformed. Our values will be changed. And we will stop worrying and we will start really living. There are a lot of people not living today because they're full of worry. Become worry-free by putting in first, having that absolutely intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that puts him above all else, that puts Jesus above the spouse, that puts Jesus above our feelings, that puts Jesus even above our children, that puts Jesus above anything. The only way to be worry-free. I didn't say he was going to take all those situations away. I didn't even say he's going to make you well. But I am saying that he will give you the grace and he will give you all you need to get through whatever it is that is causing the worry if we have that faith in our Heavenly Father. Hear part of the earlier reading that Neil read a few moments ago from a different translation. Don't worry about anything. This is Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Why do we worry? Why do we worry? Will you stop worrying? Will you start living? Let's pray. Father, you've given us the truths in your word. for us to know how to stop worrying and just truly start living. Living for you, putting you first, seeking your kingdom first. Father, we give you all we are, all we have. We give you Fern Creek Baptist Church. And we confess worrying about different things as a church body. I know as this corporate body, sometimes we find ourselves scratching our heads and maybe worrying instead of trusting. Father, help us as this body of believers to truly trust. Help us as individual Christians to trust you. Help us as individual families to trust you. To trust you completely and to know that this word is true. And that all of your instructions are right here. Father, help us to give all worry to you. And Father, if there are those today who don't know you as Lord and Savior, our prayer is certainly for them to come to know you this very day. For those who need to be a part of this fellowship, for those who have other decisions to make, our prayer is that those will be made this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Whatever God is calling you to do today,